We are here today to commemorate the memorial of the blowing of trumpets. I hope you have the fever, because the fever is coming on, and it's already on for most of us. We are here because God has commanded us to observe this day as a part of a witness and warning to those who do not. We represent the foolishness of God, described by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians, serving as a testimony to those who scoffed at such observances as ignorant, who scoff at such observances as unnecessary, who scoff at such things as being foolish and a waste of time. Trumpets were blown before each festival, at the beginning of each month, and also over the peace and burnt offerings. Instruction is given in Leviticus chapter 23. If you would turn there, please. Leviticus chapter 23. The instruction for the celebration of the feast of the eternal. I like to call it the real feast, the real holy day, the genuine, which is not the right pronunciation, the unpopular. Leviticus chapter 23. Verse 1. It says, "And the Eternal spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, Concerning the feasts of the Eternal, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, holy assemblies, even these are my feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest, an holy convocation. You shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Eternal in all your dwellings." Verse 4, "These are the feasts of the Eternal, even holy assemblies or convocations, which you shall proclaim in their seasons." Skipping to verse 23, "And the Eternal spake unto Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, In the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall you have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, an holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein, but you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Eternal." The Sabbaths, both weekly and annual Sabbaths, were made for man and not man for the Sabbaths. Those who observe the Sabbaths are constantly reminded that God is the creator of the universe. Those who observe God's Sabbaths are constantly reminded that God is the creator of the universe. The nation that fails to keep God's Sabbath lose sight of who the creator is. And for this cause, we have a lot of worshiping going on. We got tree worship, we got worship of self, we got worship of all kinds of stuff instead of worshiping the creator. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. All of the elements contained on this earth, even the materials that are used to make our gadgets, our iPads and our iPhones and our computers and our tablets, all of these things man likes to put their ultimate trust in, but yet all of the materials used to build such things were created by Almighty God. And we look forward to the day where man is going to come to that knowledge. In Matthew chapter 21, if you would turn there, what I would like to do is address what the trumpet symbolizes. Matthew chapter 21. You are quite aware of most of these. Nevertheless, we talk about such things in their seasons. Matthew chapter 21. We're going to begin verse 28. Matthew chapter 21, verse 28. Jesus says the following, "But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not." So think about it. One son said he wouldn't do it, but he did it. The other son gave lip service, but didn't do it. 31, Jesus asked, whether of them twain did the will of his father? They say unto him, the first. Jesus said unto them, verily or truly I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and you believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed ye, when you had seen it, repented not afterward, that you might believe him. The trumpet symbolizes the call for repentance. Our trumpets should never be blown to condemn one to the second death. We are the royal priesthood of God. The work of the watchman is the personal responsibility of every Christian. The work of the watchman is the personal responsibility of every Christian. To emphasize this point a little bit, if you go to Ezekiel chapter 18. Ezekiel chapter 18. Well, there seems to have been a proverb that many during that time came to be uninformed as a result of this proverb. Ezekiel chapter 18, beginning at verse 1. The word of the Eternal came unto me again, saying, what mean ye that you use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge? In other words, if the fathers or the parents commit the sin, the belief was that it passed on to the next generation, the kids. And that proverb was going on throughout the land of Israel. Verse 3, as I live, said the Lord Eternal, you shall not have occasion anymore to use this proverb in Israel. Behold, all souls, all persons are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul, the person, the life that sinneth, it shall die. It is said that individuals don't know that they belong to God. Whether they're Muslim, whether they're heterosexual, whether they're homosexual, it's sad that people don't realize who they belong to and who they're going to have to give an account to. Verse 5, but if a man be just and do that which is lawful and right, and hath not eaten upon the mountains, neither had lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, neither had defiled his neighbor's wife, neither had come near to a menstruous woman, and hath not oppressed any, but hath restored to the debtor his pledge, hath spoiled none by violence, hath given his bread to the hungry, and hath covered the naked with the garment. He that hath not given forth upon usury, or too much interest, neither hath taken any increase, that hath withdrawn his hand from iniquity, hath executed true judgment between man and man, hath walked in my statutes, and hath kept my judgments to deal truly. He is just. He shall surely live, said the Lord Eternal. If he, however, begets a son, that is a robber, a shedder of blood, and that doeth the like to any one of these things, skipping to verse 13, hath given forth upon usury, or excessive interest, and hath taken increase, shall he then live? God says, he shall not live. He hath done all these abominations. He shall surely die. His blood shall be upon him. We are to preach repentance to each person that we're able to, because all that we reach must realize that he will be held accountable for their actions, whether good or bad. In Hebrews chapter 10, if you would turn there, please, there's another purpose or another thing that the trumpet symbolizes. Hebrews chapter 10. You have the understanding that the trumpet is a symbol for the call to repentance, and yet there are other symbols here. Hebrews chapter 10, starting at verse 24. It says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Don't see a lot of provocation for good things nowadays. A lot of provoking that we see on the news is for evil. Verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who had trodden underfoot the Son of God, and had counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and had done despite unto the Spirit of grace. The trumpet is a symbol for assembling, as also noted in Numbers chapter 10. We assemble to build each other up, to strengthen one another, as iron sharpens iron. We are to use our past experiences and acquired God-given wisdom to instruct and edify one another as much as we are able to. We must bear each other's burdens. We cannot warn each other effectively if we do not assemble. It's easy to talk to someone on the phone and try to give advice, but you and I know we can't read each other's body language. You know, we can talk and say, okay, you should do such and such and such and such. And the other person said, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh, oh yeah, oh yeah. So it is necessary to assemble. You tend to grab the other person's attention that way. You have a better chance of it. In Daniel chapter 12, there's a warning regarding assembly. If you would turn there, please. Daniel chapter 12. And this has to do with the time of the end. Daniel chapter 12. Verse 1 reads, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which stands for the children of thy people, as the angel gives words to Daniel concerning the Jews and the Israelites. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time, referring to the great tribulation. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But you, O Daniel, verse 4, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. And we believe, of course, that Revelation, the words, of course, the book has been reopened. Verse 5, then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one to this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, the question is, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times and a half, meaning 3.5 year period. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. The actual meaning of the word scatter means to shatter, to break into pieces, to pulverize. And of course, it means to disperse as well. Our enemy recognizes that there is strength in unity, that there is power when the church is on one accord. The devil will scatter the power of the church in order to create discord and to weaken our faith. We must therefore assemble and exhort one another daily while it is called today. Jesus said in Matthew 18 and 20, he says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. In Revelation chapter 8, if you would turn there, please. Revelation chapter 8, where the seventh seal was opened and trumpet plagues were released. Trumpet, symbol of the call for repentance and to call the assembly together. Revelation chapter 8, beginning of verse 1. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for the space or time of about 30 minutes, half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, verse 3, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers out of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. It's as if down through the centuries, our prayers and the prayers of all of our forefathers in Christ, forefathers in the church, were being issued up, and they were assembled in one location. And it is at this point where our prayers went before God with the incense. And all of a sudden, as you continue to read, God begins to react as a result of the smoke that comes before him, the desire to take vengeance because of what mankind has done to God's people. Verse 5, and the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And the seven angels, which had the seven trumpets, prepared themselves to sound. And so right now we're going to read about the actions of at least the first five angels. Verse 7, the first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. And the third part of trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. And the second angel sounded, and as it were, a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. And the third part of the sea became blood. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died. And the third part of the ships were destroyed. Speaking of which, you know, we tend to take wildfires very lightly. You know, we see a wildfire in Colorado, we see a wildfire in California, and we say, okay, it's normal. But imagine that kind of stuff happening on a grander scale worldwide, where it's a third of all greenery. It's a third of plant life. Verse 10, and the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, like a meteor, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers, and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called bitter, or wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood. And many men died of the waters, because they were made bitter. And fourth angel sounded, and the third sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened. And the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, fifth trumpet, woe, sixth trumpet, woe, seventh trumpet, to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. The trumpet is a symbol of war. The Christian life is a warfare, a constant warfare against sin. It's a constant warfare against Satan the devil. It's a constant warfare against this society, this world. It's a constant warfare against our own sinful nature. At the sound of the trumpets mentioned in Revelation, the Savior and Messiah executes vengeance on the earth, on behalf of his saints. God responds to the prayers of the saints by destroying the things that man places his ultimate trust in. The economy, for one. Agriculture, nature, the scorching of the earth. Just read how one third of all greenery, all plant life is burnt. And the trees where the tree huggers like to worship, a third is destroyed. The shipping industry, affecting how we receive the majority of our products. As you know, a lot of the gadgets and some of the clothing that we receive now comes from foreign places. The fishing industry, where we like to fish and trawl our shrimp and our squid in the name of calamari, our lobsters and octopus. We like to make delicacies of all of our different sea creatures, many of which are not suitable for consumption. Nevertheless, we got to try it. We got to test it. God is even going to affect that. And of course, the drinking water, a third of which turns to blood. Continuing in chapter 9, we won't read all of it, just a portion of it. The fifth angel sounded, verse 1, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, and the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Verse 3, and there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. The seal of God, the confirmation and authenticity of God the Father and Jesus Christ, indelibly stamped on the foreheads of the saints as proof that they are his. Mankind's not going to have that stamp because they willfully and willingly rejected it. Verse 5, and to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he strikes a man. The purpose of the tormenting, believe it or not, is to get them to repent so that they may see the ways of God is right. And yet, you see at the end of the chapter that they rejected still. Verse 6, and in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. If you skip to verse 12, please. It reads, one woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. The sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in, which can be translated by, before, or at the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour, and a day, and a month, and a year, for to slay or kill the third part of men. When Jesus returns to this earth, he isn't coming back as a sacrificial lamb to be mocked at. When Jesus Christ returns to this earth, he is not returning as a sacrificial lamb to be spat upon or slapped. He is returning as a conquering king, ready to establish God's kingdom and ready to purge the evil from the earth, beginning with the beast and with the false prophet. Christ will use war to execute peace. We're all aware that the trumpet is to be used as a witness and a warning. However, history details how the trumpet can be misused, how the trumpet can be misused. We're in the book of Revelation. If you would turn back to 3 John, 3 John, which is behind Jude. You have Revelation, if you go backwards, Jude, and then 3 John. 3 John. Third John, beginning at verse 9. It reads, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, received us not. Wherefore, John says, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words. Not only was he talking smack, he was talking smack with violence, threatening to put a hurting on him. And not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Diotrephes used his trumpet for self-aggrandizement. He used his trumpet to promote himself and appear more powerful than he really was. His actions divided this church. Diotrephes misused his trumpet. Please turn to Matthew 24. Matthew 24, we'll read excerpts of that. Matthew chapter 24. Beginning at verse 1, it reads, And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See you not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming? And of the end of the world, or the age as we know it. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many, verse 5, shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Meaning that many are going to come in the name of Jesus Christ, declaring Jesus to be the Christ, and yet shall seek to deceive. In verse 11, it reads, And many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. Skipping to verse 23. Verse 23, same chapter. Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Those who intentionally promote false teachings misuse their trumpet. Those who intentionally promote false teachings misuse their trumpets. The Sadducees taught that there was no resurrection, even though they saw Lazarus rise, even though they were aware of the works of Jesus Christ. They still taught, they still believed that there was no resurrection. The doctrine of the Nicolaitans became popular, which supposedly gave church members license to commit fornication and to cast stumbling blocks before the church of God, just as Balaam did. Other modern-day doctrines that we witness today include this sacred names teachings, in which you have to say God's name a certain way in order to be accepted. Otherwise, you wrong. And of course, we learned last week about the latest teaching, in which there is now a problem saying the word amen. That kind of blew me away there. And of course, we have the entertainers of this world who sadly misuse their trumpets. Many of today's musicians make billions of dollars making ungodly music, promoting devil worship, promoting sodomy, promoting fornication. Our great pretenders, the actors and actresses who present fornication, who promote blasphemies, who promote stoutness, taking God's name in vain in the film, they have corrupted the filmmaking industry. Some of those entertainers, believe it or not, come from or came from professing strict professing Christian households, which leads to another point of emphasis. In life, there's going to be moments when you feel like you are just wasting your time, that all the trumpet blowing you did was done in vain. You'll think about all the times you tried to advise your friends and tried to give advice to your former church members, but to no avail. They didn't heed the warning. And for those who have children, who invested time and energy teaching their kids about the truth of God when they were knee-high to a bullfrog on Tuesday, only to see them rejected, supposing that they know better, that they have greater knowledge, you feel like your trumpet blowing was for nothing. Remember this: it takes faith and courage to blow your trumpet. It takes faith, it takes courage, and it requires great risk to blow your trumpet. I won't read it, but also remember this: the chapter that we just left in Revelation, chapter 9, verses 20 and 21, the scripture says that in spite of all the plagues that Jesus allowed to be poured upon mankind, they still rejected Jesus Christ. They still would not repent. Lesson to be learned: even Jesus Christ, with all of his actions, could not persuade mankind to repent. So don't lose hope. Don't lose sight. Your job and my job is to proclaim the truth of God. And whatever happens, happens. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The trumpet symbolizes something else, which I'm sure you know what that is. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we will begin in verse 49. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 49. The Apostle Paul said, "And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" The trumpet heralds or proclaims the resurrection. It is a symbol of victory, a symbol of triumph. We celebrate this holy day knowing that at the last trump, we shall inherit eternal life. This day is to be a joyous occasion, not a day of sadness. This day is to be a day of liberty and freedom, and not bondage. And for the final scripture reading, if you would turn to Psalm 47. Psalm 47. In Psalm 47, the psalmist wrote, "O clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. For the Eternal, Most High, is terrible. He is a great king over all the earth." Terrible. The Eternal is to be revered. That's what that word terrible means. The Eternal is to be in awe of. to honor and respect. You know, when our favorite football team, they walk out that stadium and all the smoke is up and everything, and boy, I tell you, and they come rolling through, they're all hype and stuff. Let me tell you something, that has nothing compared to this. Nothing. It's got nothing on this walkway, on this appearance at all. Remember that, folks. Verse 6, sing praises to God. Sing praises unto our King. Sing praises, for God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. God reigns over the heathen. God sits upon the throne of his holiness. The princes of the people are gathered together, even the people of the God of Abraham, for the shields of the earth belong unto God. He is greatly exalted. I didn't read verse 4, I meant to. He shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob, whom he loved. And of course, that inheritance is eternal life. The trumpet is a symbol of praise and honor to the Godhead. It is a symbol of praise and honor to God the Father and Jesus Christ, our Lord. In this psalm, as you read it, all prophecy is fulfilled. The kingdoms of this world will have come to naught, and the kingdom of God will overspread the earth. May we continue to first seek that kingdom.